Today's scripture is one of my very, very favorite scriptures. And it is a time and an opportunity for us to remember that first resurrection Sunday went longer than we could ever imagine. I want you to think of these disciples and think of everything that Jesus had done that first Easter Sunday. He rose from the dead. The disciples came, two of the disciples came, and they ran off because they didn't find him. But the women were there and they ran off too, except for Mary Magdalene. And then Mary encounters Jesus. And she recognizes him. And she goes back to tell the others. Now, did they believe her? Probably not. But we also know that Jesus encountered two disciples. Remember that the two that were walking, they were followers of Jesus. And I gave you a challenge to try to figure out who the two were. I even gave you a hint that one was a woman. So I don't know if anybody took me up on the challenge or not, but you can always send me an email or talk to me afterwards if you figured out who the two were on the road to Emmaus. After Jesus leaves them, he comes to the upper room, though, where the 11 disciples are and the women. Well, when I say 11, one of them was missing. Thomas was missing. And so there were only 10 disciples in the room. Judas is already gone. He's already died. And so we have these words in our scripture today from John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, in this place and in this time, we hear your holy word. We hear your holy scriptures, Lord. We know that you are in this place. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to be able to hear you. Speak through me and in spite of me today, Lord, as we draw closer in this movement, in this time of needing release. So we search for that key today, Lord God, so that we can unlock ourselves unto you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes the ways that we lock ourselves up and hold ourselves captive are through ways that we would never have even thought possible. In our lives, and maybe in this current time, we find ways of holding ourselves captive. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Sometimes it's because of a disease. I believe in this time, in this day and age, when we think of addiction, we all know of somebody who is held captive through that. Oh, and it might be through drugs. It might be through alcohol. It might be through so many things. And so we find ourselves breaking out of the flock, or maybe trying to hide in the flock and maybe not be seen. Or maybe the addiction might be food, or there's so many things. I want to tell you the story about Ron Williams. Ron was an addict and an alcoholic for years. He spent time in and out of prison, homelessness, and multiple court-ordered rehabilitation programs. And each valley of his addiction was lower and more pronounced. After his third prison sentence, Williams had enough and checked himself into the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. It was a rehabilitation program, and he did this on his own volition, not being court-ordered to go this time. There he finally found lasting recovery from his addictions, and he went into the program this final time. It changed his life. He wasn't trying to do it for anyone else but himself. And he described the experience as a hole that was being filled. And when he graduated in 2007, he stuck around to be a recovery coach. And Ron knew ultimately that what people coming for help were going through. And he eventually became more of a chaplain than a coach. And after his work shift as a coach ended, he would stick around and end up chatting with people there for an hour or longer. Ron has been released from his addiction more than 18 years. And since then, he has restored broken relationships with his children and his siblings. Addiction is one of those scary things. And I'm not a person who has ever shrugged away from meeting people head on. Oh, sometimes I meet them and they get mad. My brother was one of them. Oh, he'd get so mad at me. He'd tell me I didn't understand. And yet we were brought up the very same way, the very same parents. Well, in 2 days, my brother would have turned 50 years old, but he died 7 years ago from an overdose of the combination of 3 different drugs after spending 3 months in a rehab and then 3 months in a halfway house. And then he checked himself out, drove with a buddy over to Ohio, and then came back and overdosed and died. His buddy woke up and he didn't. Now that's scary. And I remember that day, like it was the back of my mind, always present. We just finished helping my mom complete her will that day. My mom was losing the ability to be able to care for herself any longer. And my cousin had called to say, "How was it? How are you?" Only thing is she knew before I did, because they didn't want to tell me that Kent had died while I was coming home from Du Bois to Indiana. And so she was calling me to see how I was after being told Kent had died. And she was the one to tell me. There's always shocks in life, right? And none of us are safe from any of the shocks in life, because there are truly evil people out there. But I will tell you this. My brother wasn't an evil person. He just had a very, very bad disease. The reason Jesus died is because people have a whole lot of problems, whether it be sins, addictions, all kinds of things. And after seeing this torturous, treacherous death that Jesus had, it was very hard for the disciples to come out of that upper room. And if they did, they only wandered out maybe one at a time. And that day, when Jesus came back to them, he came back to them in such of a way that they knew it was him. They recognized him when he said, "Peace be with you." But then he said it again to them, "Peace be with you," after showing them his hands, after showing them his side, the scars still present. Just like if you are able to overcome addiction or a whole host of all kinds of other things, oh, the scars are still there. They might be on the inside, but the scars are still there. But the thing is, God is so good. So is Jesus. And when we say that the Holy Spirit comes from them, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. Now, think about this. Have you ever been so close to anybody that you can feel their breath? Maybe a baby's breath, and feel that little almost purr against your cheek as you're patting them on your shoulder, right? Maybe a new baby puppy, and that little bit of breath. Maybe the breath of your spouse, or as you're hugging your mom or your children or your dad or a friend, you feel the breath. Now imagine being so close to feel the breath of Jesus Christ. Breathe in. Breathe out. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. And that Holy Spirit gives people the power of hope, of peace, and of love. Those disciples were so close that they felt the Holy Spirit at that moment. Can you feel it? Can you imagine it? Have you experienced it? Well, soon after that, Jesus disappears and Thomas came back. Now, Thomas, I swear, he gets a bum rap. But you know, a lot of people have bum raps from the things that they have done in their lives. And people who have had addictions or have addictions, they do too. Sometimes it causes them to do unspeakable things. Sometimes, though, because they grab onto that hope, that they decide that they're going to hold on to Jesus Christ, they're going to change their lives. Well, Thomas comes back. But I want you to think back a little bit further. And I know we didn't read the story of Lazarus this year, but, you know, when they first hear the story of Lazarus and find out that Lazarus is gone, and they want Jesus to come, the disciples are like, oh no, that's too close to Jerusalem. They already want to kill us. And Thomas is the one that says, hey, Jesus said we're going. And so they went. And they got to experience the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, that doesn't sound like a doubting person to me. I swear that maybe he was just too hurt, too shocked to believe that Jesus had come into the room and appeared to them. Maybe he was so hurt that he wasn't there to enjoy it or to be in the presence of the Lord. But he had a week to roam around and know that he hadn't gotten to experience the presence of the Lord, and he hadn't been there to experience the presence of the breath of the Lord Jesus Christ blowing upon them, that for that brief moment they experienced the touch of the Holy Spirit. But the very next week, Jesus came back, and Thomas is there, and Thomas got to actually touch the hands and touch the side, and he says, my Lord and my God. He experienced the presence of Jesus. And I'll tell you this, even though you and I weren't alive 2,000 years ago to experience Jesus being right there, and we can't touch his hands and touch his side today, all you have to do is breathe in and breathe out. And you can breathe in the very presence of Jesus Christ in your life. And that's step one to being released. That when we find ourselves in chains, when we find ourselves still locked up, we can still be released from those chains and that lock. We can still be released and experience Jesus. Breathe in. Breathe out. And know that as long as you have life, you are experiencing God's breath here on earth. And when we pass, when we have faith, when we have hope in Jesus Christ, we experience the eternity of Jesus. Now, in this moment, and forever. Nobody ever makes it from addiction without some form of hope. And we are Easter people. We believe in the resurrection. We believe we can each have our own resurrections. Live into that today. Know that your power isn't very strong, but through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh my, the things that we can do. Let us pray. Lord God, today in this place, there are many that know the power of addiction. But we in this place also know your power, Lord. So if there is somebody coming to mind, or if somebody here is in need, Lord, all they have to do is call out to you. Pray. Pray for strength, pray for hope, pray for release. As Thomas was released from his own anger, from his own hurt, Lord, release us today. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope and our Savior. Amen.